This is Engineer Eric with the Jimmy Doan Show, and you're listening to part two of our December 2nd podcast.
Okay, we back? You're going to unmute us? Okay, good, we're back.
Yeah!
All right, here it is.
A little break there.
Jimmy Doan Show continues, part two.
Yeah! Jimmy, how'd you do today?
I killed him. Garage sale day. That's right. Saturday's always garage sale day. I went out this morning. I killed him today.
What'd you win?
Okay, what I won today is a Hewlett-Packard 48G graphing calculator for $5.
$5.
They go for anywhere from 50 to 100 on eBay.
So now it's available on eBay.
It will.
For 50 to 100.
Yeah, that's right.
Jimmy Doan.
That's right. No, it's, I have my misspelled name on there. Anjisan. It's supposed to be Anjinsan. I know that.
That's kind of a silent N.
Yeah. Okay. Right. from Shogun, one of our favorites. Oh, which reminds me, there was a new one. Have you seen The Last Samurai?
Yes, I have, with Tom Cruise.
Lots of Japanese in that.
Oh, yeah.
Tons.
Yeah.
Can you understand it?
Yeah, it's fairly clear. It's fairly clear.
I mean, I thought it was, I understood occasional words in there. Karemasen. Yeah.
Konnichiwa.
I hated the end of that show, man, though.
Why?
Because it was just so lame.
Well, it was called The Last Samurai for a reason.
It should have been like the last group of idiots and like
I've seen a lot. They did that in the Civil War too. Well, of course, this is after the Civil War. This took place in the
18th. I made like Pickett's Charge look like a good idea.
Right about that. That's yeah. It's got to be. Oh my god. So anyway, the moving on. Snoop Dogg was arrested after the Jay Leno show. Now, I want to ask our attorney about it.
Get down. He wasn't exactly in that, but...
Yeah, the Sanford and Son worked just as good for Snoop. All right, yeah, so he
was driving out, apparently. They do the taping, you know, early.
As soon as he got out of the gate from the studio...
They arrested. Exactly. You know, now, what's the probable cause on that, do you suppose?
I mean, he's Snoop Dogg.
Is that like they did with the when they stopped Willie Nelson for his tour bus?
Exactly, he's Willie Nelson. Now Willie Nelson's tour bus did have a big pot leaf on the side,
Snoop's limo. The point is that they let me just read this article here. This is Burbank, California. He left about 9 o'clock. They finished the taping, I guess.
9 a.m. No,
9 p.m.
9 p.m.
They taped the show. The Leno show that comes on about 11:30, I think they start taping around 5 in the afternoon. Okay. 35-year-old rapper.
You mean it's not live?
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Calvin brought us. Two members of Entourage were arrested around 6 p.m., excuse me, after a search of his Diamond Bar home and car. Sergeant said, they seized a handgun, some illegal drugs, did not have the details, but the rapper was arrested for investigation of being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm, possessing cocaine, transporting marijuana, and having a false compartment in his vehicle. Now, the question I have is this. He was in his car pulling out of the studio when the police stopped him. And I'm wondering, why would they have stopped him, I wonder?
Well, they don't say in that article right there. It doesn't say if he ran a stop sign or whatever.
Smoking a joint out of the sunroof.
Yeah,
the limo.
Right, exactly. He's probably sitting there huffing it up, looking right at him, giving him the finger.
Probably. That'd be stupid.
Either that or he was DWB. Driving while black.
Yeah, that's it. They did that in Louisiana a lot. I didn't think they did it in Burbank that much. But the point is that the thing that I saw that struck me and that I put in bold writing here was having a false compartment in his vehicle, which means that they searched it. And doesn't anybody know these days when they ask, can we search your car, to say no?
Is it okay if I say no?
Exactly.
He's a convicted felon, for God's sake.
And listen, this brings up, I have come up with a fun toy, which our Jimmy Doan listeners can possess if they simply send a self-addressed stamp envelope.
To
or
where?
Something.
We're not telling them where to send it.
No, no.
Email us. Email.
Yeah. Email us. That's right. You can always email us at
Jimmy at
JimmyDone.com or Jack.
That's right, Jack.
At my, Jimmy
that,
Dunn.
Come on, keep that email coming.
I have formed a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Really?
Yes.
Because he cost this guy $60,000.
Yeah.
It's convenient business card size.
It's
right in your wallet.
Right.
And it says on one side,
is it okay if I say no?
And then if you turn it over.
Yeah. It tells you what to do if you happen to get arrested.
That's right.
Or stopped, at least. Not before you get arrested.
Well, this is actually you get arrested.
You're talking to the officer. The officer approaches the car with his gun drawn.
Well, they're going to have to say at some point in time, they're saying you're under arrest.
Is it okay?
Until that time, you can say, is it okay if I say no, right?
That's right. And once you hear this, then
it. Yeah, right. But my question is, up until that time, can you continue to say, is it okay if I leave now?
Yes, in fact. And if they say no, that you can't leave, then that constitutes an arrest.
It does.
Yes. And at that point, if they don't have any probable cause for whatever it is they find later, it can be suppressed because... Uh-huh. You've been arrested when you're told that you can't leave.
I did not know that.
So that's another really important thing.
In other words, you actually don't have to utter the words, you're under arrest.
No.
I did not know that.
So explain that again.
Okay, here's the deal.
When they stop you.
Right. One of the things that you want to say, and I've got another card, which is, you know, top five things you want to say.
All right.
But another other thing you want to say
is... You probably have a card that says what you don't want to say, too. Red cards.
No, this is when they've put... For you're guilty of something, DWI, running the stop sign, whatever. They stop you, and what do you say?
Well, no, you're not exactly guilty of that stuff. They stop you anyway. They stop you because you're with your black friend or something. Or you're driving through the hood. And what you say is... Is it okay if I leave now? Can I go ahead and go? You say, you know, I'm in a hurry. Is it okay if I go on my way? And if they say no, then that's going to constitute an arrest.
What if they say, we'd like to ask you a few questions first?
They're allowed to take a reasonable amount of time investigating something. If they're investigating something they can tell you about, that is to say, if they say then after that, have you seen a guy driving around in a black vehicle, you know, or whatever it is?
With a white girl.
Yeah, or whatever it is they say. If they do that, they can ask you a couple questions.
Well, now, they normally when they stop you, they will say, could I see your driver's license registration and your proof of insurance?
Right.
And you are required to give them that.
Right.
So you hand them that, and then what?
And then...
Now, usually what happens at that point is they go back to their car and they make a phone call.
Right.
They type into their computer or something.
Right. And let's say they...
And they're going to say, stand here.
Right.
They're going to say, you know, don't come near my car or whatever, you know.
Well, you know, after a few minutes, you get out of your car and you start to walk back and they come on the intercom and they say, back up, you know, back up. If they miss you, then you get to say... but is it okay if I leave now? Because I'm in a big hurry.
Right.
And they may say, well, we're processing tickets or whatever. But if they get done with that, let's say, and they hand you your ticket, and then they're talking to you about your car and where you've been, you know, and what you're doing, where you're going and stuff, you know, you can say, can I leave now? And if they say no, they better have a good reason for saying no.
Okay.
They better have probable cause.
So when they say no, do you say why?
Yeah, you say well, you know, why?
Am I under arrest?
Oh, am I under arrest? Okay,
right. And then at that point,
tips from the Jimmy Doan Show,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and then they may say no, but in fact you are. At that point, if they're not letting you leave,
so then
and
you
they're
say,
done with
right,
whatever,
if you're not letting me leave,
or investigation.
So you say so. I want to get this clear because this is.
And then,
this,
go ahead.
So you continue the little role play here.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
you say, am I under arrest? They say, well, no.
Right.
I've got a few more questions I need to ask.
Right.
Then
they say, is there anything in the car? And then you go, well, as a matter of fact, the trunk's full of cocaine.
No. That's not a good thing to say. Is
well,
it?
But see, at that point, you've already been arrested, and they don't have any probable cause. So everything after that point can potentially be suppressed. I mean, you never want to say that, but
it was just to prove a point.
Right.
No, the third thing you want to say is if I'm not under arrest and you're not letting me leave, then by law, you are putting me under arrest.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to say that.
Right.
That's, you know, that's what's happening. But
you, it would be nice to imply to them that you are aware.
Now, do the police all know this?
They should.
More or less. Not really. They don't know the intricacies of what they can do and can't do. That's why they make little mistakes.
Ah.
You know, I had a case the other day. They, you know, they got a call from some woman, and they came, and the guy sitting on the couch, and they said, why don't you come out here and talk to us? And when they asked him to come out of the house, that constitutes a seizure. And
it what?
It constitutes a seizure. They can't be asking you to go over here and over there and you know, move
well,
you around
your,
and stuff.
Your house is your castle anyway. I mean, how do they?
Yeah.
So well, they asked you to step outside your house.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to go search his car. That's where the tip said the stuff was.
I see. And well, I'm hanging on tether hooks here. What happened?
We don't know, actually. There's a motion to suppress.
Ah.
And,
did they search his car?
Yes, they did.
So he gave them permission to search the car then, huh? Or not?
Yes, once they got him out there. But you see, since they'd already sort of violated his rights, they've already done an unreasonable search of him, basically. Uh-huh. Because they're ordering him around, ordering him off the couch and whatever.
They've already made a mistake, so nothing's going to stick.
After that, there's a decent chance. I mean, if the judge is feeling like swinging your way, they can suppress that stuff.
Swinging your way.
Yeah. And they can, you know, so at that point, you know.
So again, email us and we'll Counselor Curtis will send you one of those cards.
Yep.
Or two cards.
Yep.
That's good. Well, I'm glad
to keep your ass out of jail.
So anyway, but what about this having a false compartment in his vehicle? Is that, I mean, that's just.
I've never heard of that one, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, these days it's getting to where.
Lockdown. Lockdown. Remember that word, folks. Lockdown.
Yeah. You know, nothing in the compartment.
Well, they didn't say that.
They didn't say that. I mean, maybe that's where the gun was, but it doesn't matter. I mean, let's assume that the gun and the cocaine was in the false compartment. So what? But I mean, how did they find the false compartment?
Well, we'll see what the probable cause was.
I want to find out about that. It was just a couple of days ago, so we'll see about that. Okay, well, that's good. more legal stuff. This I thought was fascinating. This is quite an extensive article. The Department of Justice case may redefine child pornography. The federal indictment, this guy named Jeff Pearson, who is a photographer whose action shots have appeared in racing magazines and commercial advertising. He's a regular freelance type, I guess.
Not a child pornographer.
No, except in a federal indictment announced this week, the U.S. Department of Justice accused Pearson, 43, of being a child pornographer, even though prosecutors acknowledge there's no evidence he has ever taken a single photograph of an unclothed minor. The deal here... Well, what happened is they have in the new child modeling sites. As you know, the children very often are in. Do these little sound effects have any
child modeling?
Yeah, people are all freaked out.
Okay. The thing that gets me about this is that, and this is where they're trying to redefine it. If it's suggestive, if the camera focuses, even though you might be wearing clothing, if it focuses on the genital area, for instance, they're going to call that pornography now.
Well, I don't know.
They're going crazy with the pornography thing. I mean, it's almost as bad as the drug stuff. I mean, they're going off the deep end. The pornography thing, I'm seeing it more and more where...
Well, this goes on. It says the websites that prompted the indictments are now offline, but copies saved in Google's cache and through archive.org show the photographs in question depicted girls wearing everything from sweaters to more frequently swimsuits and midriff-bearing attire. Parents appear to have given their consent.
Watch out, man.
Well, I mean, the D.C. Department of Criminal Family or whatever, whoever, what do you call them?
Department of Children and Families. Yeah. Or the Destroyer of Children and Families.
That's right, Destroyer of Children and Families. They're going to be in there for that. Because no sex or nudity is involved, the prosecution raised unusual First Amendment concerns that stretch beyond mere modeling-related websites. And, of course... It says here when actress, and I remember seeing this movie, when actress and model Brooke Shields was 15, she appeared
in Pretty Baby,
and also Calvin Klein.
Never do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
That was a line in the film.
What was the line?
At some point, she was messing with the photographer's, films, which in those days were hard wood framed, whatever. And he picked up one of those frames and whacked the crap out of, you know, young Brooke Shields and said, never, never do that. He was scolding her for trying to look at the pornography that he was had been framed. So, that's it.
Okay. But Sally Mann, named Time Magazine's Photographer of the Year in 2001, was attacked by critics for featuring nude images of her own children.
Well, and
that called The Immediate Family. Remember that?
And that pretty babe, that was pretty risque.
I mean, and especially when it came out. I mean, that was like 20 years ago.
Right. I mean,
all that makes a distinction between legal child pornography and illegal child pornography, and usually subjective one.
The whole thing has been subjective from the beginning. Of course. That Jacobellis versus Ohio, Potter Stewart.
Right. Can you imagine? So it may come
it's
down
corrupt
to,
at
as
its
Justice
core.
Department's Alice Martin put it, seemingly ephemeral factors such as poses the model strikes and the camera angles the photographer chooses. I mean, what do you, it's insane.
They know it when they see it. Look, that standard corrupts the entire idea of obscenity. I mean, the idea that that an American can somehow be influenced to commit a crime or thrown over the edge because of viewing anything or reading any idea is just un-American. I mean,
well,
you have to say that,
but it's been totally American. I remember when I was growing up, you could not read. It was a SWAT team offense to get Lady Chatterer's Lover.
Catcher in the Rye.
No, Catcher in the Rye was perfectly okay. Always has been.
Right, and that was banned when I was a kid.
Take some personal responsibility, folks.
It was required reading when I was in high school.
Yeah,
it was required when I was in college, but in high school they didn't have it in our library.
I understand that. And Tropic of Cancer, Henry Miller, was another one that was banned.
Well, but see, all of those things that should
Lady Chatterer's Lover. Did I just say that one?
Yeah.
I mean, you literally were. Can you imagine? I mean, can you just imagine?
Look, if the ideas are okay for anybody, then they're okay for an adult American.
Well, of course, what they're saying here is that these kids who are clothed are being exploited. The explanation for the lies of
that's
criminal...
a totally different thing, though.
I was going to say, they may be being exploited, but it's not pornography.
Well, but even if they are, even if it's pornography, they shouldn't be punishing the people at the end of the list.
They're punishing the photographer here.
Well, I know, and also people who have got on their website, on their computer.
True.
I mean, you know, a freaking virus could download something on your computer.
Well, that's, of course, we talked last week. We mentioned that the one guy got off. One guy got off because even though they went to his computer and they found the cache with the porno in it, they couldn't determine whether or not he'd actually looked at it. The next guy they looked at, he had erased his cache, which meant that he had to look at it first or something, and so he went to jail. The courts have also looked at a 1986 case called U.S. v. Dost for guidance on what's lascivious and what's not. Among the factors they evaluate, whether the focus is on the child's genitalia or pubic area, whether the image suggests sexual coyness, and whether the visual depiction is intended or designed to elicit a sexual response in the viewer. I mean, you know, give me a break. Every single ad you see in Times Square, for God's sakes, is designed for anything is designed to elicit a sexual response.
Let me tell you, Japan could not pass any of those standards.
Oh, I know that.
Japan is like king of having child pornography just
laying
around.
The whole
exactly.
comics that are just unbelievable. No, that's right. I mean, that's what that whole anime thing is.
Yep.
I mean, the hente, what do they call it? Anime? In 2002, of all of the... Now, here's the irony. Here's a little piece of irony. In 2002, Representative Mark Foley announced a bill called the Child Modeling Exploitation Prevention Act, would effectively ban the sale of photographs of minors.
I'm going to have to interview all the kids.
Yeah, right, exactly. Especially the guys, young guys. If you've been photographed, I want to know all about it.
Well, he would have been responsible for, you know...
For
holding the library of all of the forbidden material.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, exactly.
Just send it all to me.
What he'd like to do is to interview all of the participants in the library.
That's right.
That's right. I'm sorry. That boy looks like he's about 10. Bring him in, please, and we need to talk to him.
That's right. Close the door.
Close the door.
Behind you.
That's right. Close the door behind you. That's right. I mean, I'm blown away by the lockdown feature on this again.
Yeah. Where's that big lockdown noise? We didn't have. Yeah, there we go.
It's accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that people need to get their place where they're going to go hide. number one, and start stocking up on Sam Andy.
Buy your military retreat now.
Right. That's right. Exactly right. Get your guns. Okay. Another, here's another legal item that I that you may want to talk about. Open source group wants educational patent reversed. Now, this is actually a whole thing, and I'm not sure I've got all of the stuff here.
The Supreme Court case where they want to check out the obviousness.
That's one of them, yes. That's right. The obvious, in other words, they're going to review patent law is what it boils down to.
Right.
What's happening here is that a lot of people are claiming intellectual property rights for stuff that, you know, is it obvious?
Right.
And, of course, this whole IP thing never even started until the 1970s or 80s or something. I mean, as far
yeah.
as...
Well, intellectual property, I'm going to tell you right now, intellectual property is not property. There's one very big difference between actual property and intellectual property.
You think?
Yeah. I'll tell you this.
Like matter.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Intellectual property is infinite, potentially.
And, right.
And,
yes.
And real property is finite.
Right.
And the reason we have laws to tell you who gets what property is just because the stuff's finite.
Right.
If you have a sandwich... Only one person can eat it, so we have to have a law to determine whose it is. And if you have a parcel of land, only one person can live there. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a law to determine who gets to live there for how long and whatever. But intellectual property is not like that. I can have a song in my head, I can sing it to you, and then you can have it in your head. It doesn't affect mine.
Or you can put it on a CD and have, or you can do it at Rolling Stones concert. And
right.
There's 90,000 people that have gone.
And ideas are the same way. You can pass on an idea, and it doesn't affect anybody else's ability to keep that idea in their head. And
well, so how did this all get started? I mean,
got started, when the original origin, way back in the day, was after the invention of the printing press. When movable type came along, all the scribes were chucked out of business. And all the people who copied anything by hand were suddenly a valueless group. And so they went to the queen and said, you got to put a stop to this newfangled printing bullshit. And so she said,
it's fine.
Fine
on my bottom
if
line.
If you print anything that we don't want you to, you have to pay a fee to the crown, which we'll go ahead and call a royalty. And so that's.
This sounds like we're using the same words today.
It's amazing. And so that's how it all started. And then what happened was when the Federalists were getting together the Constitution, they decided, hey, this sounds like a good idea. It was sort of a remnant of the mercantile society.
Right.
And they said, well, we're going to protect these manufacturers. We're going to protect the manufacturers. It was a protectionist scheme. And they were like, well, what we'll do is we'll make it so that these people over here in America get some protection, too, because the Britons have their protection. And so they said, and the Federalists kind of pushed it through the Constitution.
All right.
And allowed, it was supposed to be a limited copyright and patent protection, and what's ballooned into this gigantically huge area
as all government programs do because they got a monopoly on it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, it gets convoluted and screwed up by the people it's supposed to regulate, quote unquote, or provide
right.
protection.
And now everybody's convinced that the U.S. Patent Office is the mother of invention when really it's necessity. And if they just let things be and let the companies go about themselves, and people rip off other people and produce whatever it is
the
market would figure it out just fine.
Yeah, and they're trying to. Well, of course, what I see here is it was on those occasions when the market seems to like not want to do it, or this again as the capitalist being the enemy of capitalism. They have the Disney copyright. Which is, you know, they call it the Disney law, which was they extended the protection for Mickey for another
Disney.
It's like 100 years.
Yeah.
It's over 100 years.
Well, that's what's got ridiculous is the copyright law has gone from like 4 years to 150 or something.
Life plus 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
life,
and of course, you've got like six different copyright laws that are in effect at the same time, depending on when the piece was written or published or whatever.
Right, exactly.
A lot of those are going to expire. Well, whatever. Anyway, the point is, though, on this particular thing, this is the intellectual property. This is just the idea of stuff. That is to say, you've got a piece of software that does something. And the people that are fighting on both sides of this, one are the open source people, and these are people that have written like Unix or Linux or something like that is basically in the public domain, and they're modifying it and so forth. And then there are people that claim pieces of it, pieces of the code, as proprietary, and so they want to be paid for this. And it's really arcane. The discussions are very arcane as to who owns what.
The copy people are ultimately going to go down, people who are for copy protection, because the market, the overall market's making an end run around them. The Chinese are just ripping off everything in sight.
Well, that's, of course, that brings up another thing that the Bill Gates is trying to do on this new Vista when it comes out. Engineer Eric had quite a bit to say about that. The for what it's worth, this last week, in fact, the bulk, the manufacturer's version, the golden version of Vista was released to Dell and everybody that's going to put it on their machines. I don't think as consumers you can actually buy a package until the middle of January, but one of the big problems that they've had with Microsoft has had is because like 90% of the copies of all Microsoft software in China is ripped off. And they are trying to figure out a way to stop that. Bill,
good luck.
Bill's not rich enough. Although Bill, by the way, digress just for a second. He said that his multi-billion dollar foundation, largest in the world now, is going to expire in 50 years after the last trustee dies. Or after the last trustee. you suppose those guys are going to find a way to fix it in about the year 2063. Well, we still got some money left over.
What good is a software program going to be after 150 years?
After life plus
75,
I digress for a second. I was talking about his foundation that was going to expire. He's going to try and spend all his money. The foundation is supposed to spend all of Bill's money that he contributes to the foundation. It's supposed to go away after 50 years. Now, coming back down the tree to the software, no, you're right about that. The problem that they've got is that some of the code that is in the new stuff, a lot of it is the same kind of thing that pharmaceutical companies do. Pharmaceutical companies, when they have a patent running out on a particular drug, they will modify it just ever so slightly and repatent it for more protection.
Right.
And it does basically the same. Well, sometimes what they'll do is they'll
change the color.
Well, no, it's not that so much as what they'll do is it turns out
those bills were red, and
little
green,
purple. Not much more than that. What they'll do is they'll find an alternate use. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of pills are used for non-certified uses. It turns out that something like thalidomide, for instance, does something that it's really well that it was not designed to do.
Honey, crack a nutty.
Does this have any bearing on what we're talking about? So now what they do is they change the formulation just slightly, and they say now it does whatever this new thing is. I think it's supposed to cure leprosy or something, and it was originally just a painkiller. I'm serious. I'm something along those lines. Anyway, the deal is that the patents and copyrights, which are used to keep control over software, these people are fighting it out with the open source people. And the one issue that divides the two sides is the assessment of the patent's claims. The Software Freedom Law Center believes that the claims are extremely broad, but the people that own the car have copyrighted this stuff and gotten the official copyright from the patent office. No, this is actually very narrow. So they're
just arguing over cash.
Well, I know that. I know that.
But there shouldn't even need to be a fight. I mean, the fact that the government made this something they can fight over in court is what's ridiculous.
And as always, once the government steps in, things get expensive. If nothing else, the lawyers are going to make money on this. A problem has arisen that should not have arisen in the first place. And it's all because the government stepped in this thing and trying to protect somebody. And the next thing you know, more ill is done than good.
Shocking.
I know that. Okay.
Shock and all.
Done with that. Here it is. We've got about another 25 minutes to go. Now,
all right.
This has to do with the new, I'm moving on here to the new Congress. They're not even enough. They're not even there yet, of course. But Nancy.
The new Democratic?
The new Democratic. Of course, they swept the control of the House and Senate. However, the headline here is from November 24th, about a week ago or so. As power shifts in the new Congress, pork may linger. Boy, are we surprised about that. One of the reasons that the Republicans...
Sorry to hear that, Professor.
what on this planet does war games have to do with?
That was Professor Folk.
I was sorry to hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. Okay. Okay, well, maybe we can enhance that on the podcast.
We have had some technical problems.
Anyway, the deal is that Mr. Stevens, Ted Stevens of Bridge to Nowhere fame, and Daniel In No Way of Hawaii are best friends. One is a Republican, one's a Democrat. Mr. Stevens is 83, and In No Way is 82. They routinely deliver to their states more money per capita in earmarks than any other state. This year, Alaska received about $1,677 per resident, which is interesting because they get about $2,000 per resident from the oil revenue. You go to Alaska, not that anybody's going to want to live there for any great length of time, but
yeah, they give you kickbacks.
They get about $3,600 just for showing up
from the oil.
And the earmarks. And Hawaii got $746 per resident, $903 million, whatever it is. The point is that they have basically said, we're going to keep on keeping on. Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader, many Democratic candidates have railed for months against wasteful special interest earmarks inserted into bills in the dark of night, quote unquote. Now, of course, their earmarks are not wasted.
No, exactly.
But if the Democratic leaders are talking about earmark reform, that's in quotes, that's news to Mr. Inouye. I don't see any changes. I thought it was interesting, this article says, meet the new cardinals. Apparently, they call themselves, and everybody on the Hill in the incestuous place of Washington, the chairman of the committees are called cardinals. Why do you suppose that is? Because they get to decide who gets what to wear, and they have...
Now, I can explain that.
Exactly. So, anyway, all have worked for years to climb to their post where authority to grant earmarks puts them among the most powerful lawmakers in Congress. That is to spend money on their buddies. By long-standing informal agreement, the majority typically doles out about 60% of the money for earmarks and lets the minority pass out the rest. And, of course, since they're all in this thing together, I remember when I was in college, we read we actually took a civics course in college, which told us about government. I learned a lot about government when I was in college, my first year.
Lies and slander.
No, it's true, and it was a great book.
No, that's what the government was.
And but they had something they called the old log roll. It was a case study about South Carolina, and this has to do with you pat my back, I'll pat yours, and that's how the money all got spent. That's what they're doing here, of course. So meet the new cardinals. And these guys are very powerful people. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, said Senator Patty Murray, now Washington Democrat, who is set to become chairwoman of the Transportation Subcommittee. Now, I don't know if you remember Senator Patty Murray. She's the tennis shoe senator. She's the one that her shtick was that she was a mom, in just a regular old one of us mom in tennis shoes.
All right.
But she's been up there now for a couple of times. She's a senator. She said this in a last fall in a speech defending an Alaska Republican allocation of more than $200 million in federal money for a bridge to remote Gravina, Alaska, with a population of 50. It became this notorious bridge to nowhere. This is the one we've talked about many times. In fact, we had a picture of it, I think, on the website of the bridge to nowhere. Interestingly enough, it was a scandal, and the news in the MSM mainstream media was that they had finally, even though Ted Stevens got up there and says, look, I've got the money, I'm spending on the bridge, it's not a waste, these 50 people need the $200 million bridge, yada, yada, going to create jobs and so forth and so on. Finally, after Katrina, he was asked, don't you think the $200 million would be better spent in Katrina than on your bridge? And he said, no. But the Democratic majority or the Democratic people said, we're not going to get elected. The rest of us, 99 people here in the Senate, are not going to get elected if we go that line. So, Ted, sorry, you're out of luck. Anyway, turns out it's all back. if I tell my colleagues, Patty Murray says this, if we start cutting funding for individual projects, your project may be next. So they basically, when they put the bridge money back, it says here the bridge's future is unclear, but you can bet that only 15 senators voted to take the money away from the bridge. 85 senators basically voted to put the money back. So essentially, it keeps on going. The congressional research found that that earmarks in 12 years, this is since the Republicans took over, in 12 years the number of earmarks has tripled to 16,000 from 5,000 to $64 billion.
Good news, everyone.
Yeah, I get it. So you've decided to go through Futurama here.
We're in the Futurama.
But I love this. Some critics argue the Democrats' proposal to disclose authorship may not do much to curb earmarks. Transparency would be enough if we had any shame. This is what Jeff Flake says. If you're embarrassed to get an earmark for the National Wild Turkey Federation, referring, he referred to a 234.
Is that the alcoholic beverage wild, National Wild Turkey? Or
no. No, you'd think that one probably got one too.
Right.
$234,000 earmark for a recent agricultural bill, but it's Representative Jeff Flake, a Republican in Arizona, says, but Republicans and Democrats have shown there is no longer any embarrassment.
Are you kidding?
No. This is, but what I thought was interesting is, in this article, like the Republican counterparts, many Democratic appropriators consider earmarks a venerable tradition dating to the Constitution, which gives Congress the power of the purse. Now, one of the things that is interesting about this, because Congress has the power of the purse, that this gives them the ability to do all this earmark business, they have not read their history. Davy Crockett, and I should have the quote here someplace, and I don't, in the late 1830s, when he was in Congress, they were going to vote on $10,000 for some disabled veteran, and he said, it can't be done. We cannot be giving money away for private people like this. This is not in the Constitution. And I do know, and I think I've mentioned this at least.
Oh, great. Now you tell me.
Yeah, it's true. I believe it was either Grover, in the 1880s, as late as the 1880s, it was still well known, well understood by everybody in Congress that you did not vote largesse or give benefits from the public purse to groups like that. Now, you had the great train robbery where they gave away all the land to make the train barons and so forth, that kind of thing. But as far as
lousy, stinking ripoff,
it was either Grover Cleveland or one of those guys there that vetoed a bill because it did something along those lines. And it wasn't until, I guess, they actually had the money. Probably, after 1913, when the government started to get a hold of all the money, that was when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and they basically print all the money they wanted to. Up until that time, things were fairly in control because the government didn't have the ability to print money with reckless abandon. After 1913, of course, they did. Anyway, prior to that time, and well into the 1980s, when the president vetoed a bill that handed out money such as this, which would today be called earmarks, they said flat out that the Constitution did not permit it. So at least for 100 years, everybody knew. So when I see this sentence in here that says that they considered a venerable tradition dating to the Constitution, I don't know which Constitution they're talking about. I mean, certainly not the United States Constitution. That's certainly not mine. And then you get a guy like Tom Harkin of Iowa, and here's a guy who is a total whore job. He says, I happen to be a supporter of earmarks unabashedly, said Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa. And he's set to become the chairman of the Appropriations Committee for Labor and so forth and so on. I don't call them earmarks. And this is where I'm talking about something like this is the same in just a second about words. I don't call them earmarks. It's congressional directed funding. Anyway, so the deal is that Tom Harkin of Iowa, of course, that's Corn State. And as you know, he's one of the ones that has the ethanol business. As you know, the people that are all for the earmarks are the guys that have their own special interest. David Obey of Wisconsin is Wisconsin Milk State. I don't know if you know this, but milk prices in the United States,
they've gone up. They got 35%.
Well, not only that, they are jiggered based on how far you are from Wisconsin. I mean, because it's a big thing. So it is illegal to make milk below whatever the milk prices are. There are something like 6,000 different milk prices, depending on what David Obey and Gaylord Nelson say about how far you are from Madison, Wisconsin, or whatever it is. But I mean, this kind of thing that has been going on for the milk business, for instance, it was in the old days when milk spoiled. You didn't have refrigeration. A lot of these laws, this again, nothing so permanent as a temporary government program or one that's way outlived its usefulness. When milk was not pasteurized, not homogenized, and it was delivered warm from the cow, that kind of thing, that's one thing. But today, you can do milk in Pensacola, and a couple hours later, it could be in New York if you wanted to, and at cheaper maybe. Could very well be cheap. Not allowed, sorry, can't be done, because these lizards, these pork bellies, these guys in Wisconsin, for instance, won't allow it, and because they want to protect their little thing. Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, as far as he's concerned, it doesn't matter if ethanol cost $1,000 a gallon to make, he'd all be all for it because it uses corn, and he's in a corn state. And all of the presidential candidates now, of which there are going to be many, are going to make the trek to Iowa And they're going to say ethanol is God. It's just God. That's all there is to it. We don't care. So, okay.
Hey, we got about 15 minutes left.
Yep.
And we got a few things you might want to hit on, and then we got to get into the light notes, right?
Okay. We can get into light notes now if you.
Oh, yeah? Okay. I didn't know about.
Well, I was going to
look. Look, we had Walmart.
Walmart, right. I thought this was
interesting. The India and San Diego, right?
So. Walmart opens hundreds of stores in India. What Walmart has done is they've combined, gotten in league with the
Walla World.
Now they've gone in league with the largest cell phone manufacturer or purveyor in India. They've gone in league with those guys, and they're planning on opening up hundreds of stores in India. Obviously, the people that are complaining about this are the small business people, as usual, as they would any place. But it looks like they're going to get her done. There's no question that it's going to have a tremendous impact. The culture of India, as it is, as you would expect, when they have no large stores to speak of so far, the culture is obviously for small stores. Well, that's going to change. It did in this country. I remember when we had the first supermarket opened up when I was growing up in Washington, D.C.
It's a supermarket.
No, I mean, literally.
It's not just a market.
I'm telling you, when I was growing up, what you did is you called the market. And you said, I want two cans of
this
beans.
This is Jimmy.
This is Jimmy, right.
I'm coming down.
This is Jimmy's mom, actually. No, I'm not coming down. They delivered. Now, you could go down if you wanted
to.
Come on. No, I'm serious. Then they opened up the supermarket and put a lot of those guys out of business. And, of course, Walmart didn't even start until, Walmart, I guess it started in the mid to late 50s. But it didn't really get started until the 70s. And it just made it, and of course it started in small towns. That's where he really started.
Yeah, he had one store and then he built it up.
Bentonville, right. But mostly he didn't start off opening in New York or LA or any place like that. He opened up in little dorpy towns.
Arkansas or whatever, right?
Bentonville, Arkansas, Bentonville, Arkansas, that's right. But I mean, when he branched out across countrywide.
Right. He didn't hit the cities.
He didn't hit the cities, that's right. Anyway, so there's 12 million family-run shops in India, and of course there's going to be a problem. This very big last frontier, it says somebody or another, Brazil is done, China's done, this is the last Shangri-La of retail, and this is where they're going to get all their growth. So,
really?
Well, again, one of the things is apparently what's happened is the government actually finally has gone anti-Gandhi, which was probably Gandhi, God love you, I suppose, for kicking the Brits out or whatever you want to call it. But he was essentially a communist because he believed in small.
Yeah, weaving in his tree. You know, come on.
He was.
I know.
People worship him, but he was one of these guys. He made the same mistake that Jefferson did in this country, and that is that everybody ought to be like a little tiny thing. Jefferson wanted to have an agricultural. He didn't believe in big.
Everybody
business.
Should weave their own clothes.
Yeah, weave their own clothes. That's right, and that's why still today you see these people, and it's the most inefficient thing in the world. And when they tried to put in the textile business in India, they did a Luddite thing.
Right.
And smash the looms and so forth. Anyway, the government finally is getting on board here when they realize that there's a market for a lot of this stuff, and they're going to apparently crack open the door to let Walmart in hundreds of stores in India. This, however, contrasted with
San Diego.
Right. San Diego, the city council here voted late Tuesday to ban certain. Guess what? Giant retail stores dealing a blow to Walmart stores incorporated potential to expand.
No longer called a supermarket. They are now super centers.
Yes, or giant retail stores.
Giant. Enormous.
So it prohibits stores of more than 90,000 square feet to use that use 10% of space to sell groceries and other merchandise that is not subject to sales tax, da 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 da. And it turns out that It's the Walmart Act, right. I mean, exactly. And the ban is modeled on a law in Turlock, a city of 70,000 people, 85 miles southeast of San Francisco. Turlock prohibited big box stores of over 100,000 square feet that devote at least 5% of their space to groceries. Well, anyway, the point is that this is India, hundreds of stores, Walmart, thank you so much. Land of the free, home of the brave, San Diego, sorry, get effed. I mean, it is just, it is mind-boggling. You look at this protectionist thing, they'd have no super centers in the San Diego area.
Yeah.
They've got the regular stores. I guess, as somebody said, they're going to start opening up small marts instead of Walmarts. maybe they'll have 200 small marts on the same piece of land.
It's going to be Walmart Express.
That's right. You're Walmart right? Express, drive-through. You know, you have the men's small mart and the women's small mart.
Exactly.
So.
All right, let's get in some light notes.
Okay,
light, final 10 minutes.
U.S. banned sale of iPods to North Korea. Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that just terrible?
We'll get them.
We'll get them, by God. Well, what they did is it turns out they're sanctioning North Korea because these guys coming out with a nuclear weapon. So what we decided is with the list of proposed luxury sanctions obtained by the Associated Press.
We no more iPods. Taking apart an iPod and finding the transistor in there.
Yeah, no. but no more cognac, Rolex watches, cigarettes, artwork, expensive cars, or Harley Davidson motorcycles, or even personal watercraft such as jet skis.
All right.
The new ban would extend even to music and sports equipment because the 5'3" tall Kim is an enthusiastic basketball fan. I mean, what is the irony there? But I love this.
Take all the people away.
Who, of course, when the Jack Daniels and the cognac people, when they're going to ban that, of course, I don't know how much how much can the guy drink, for God's sakes? What is it, a couple of cases a year? So distilled spirits, counseling nuts.
Well, you can bet he'll have his.
Well, no. But I mean, and what they said was it's totally unenforceable. But I mean, this is what a joke that actually somebody came out with this. The Washington-based personal watercraft industry said, oh, we support the ban, although it bristled at the notion that a jet ski was a luxury. I mean, give me a break.
Everybody's got to have one.
It's a necessity.
Got to have it.
I've got to have it. I mean, who does? You got to be kidding
me. So we're taking the toys away, basically.
We're taking that's right, laptops. And the point is that the U.S. exports to North Korea, then think about it. We have I don't even know. It's not even a rounding error on a rounding error. $5.8 million was the total exports last year to North Korea.
It's like one boat a year.
I mean, it's not a ship, a boat. It's not even a rounding error on a rounding error of what we export nationwide.
We're going to show them.
Yeah, we're going to show them. You can't have an iPod, as if he's not going to be able to get one from any one of a thousand.
What we ought to do is subsidize him with iPods and blast him with Americana.
I've always said that.
Send an extra 5,000 iPods over there.
I said the same thing. They should have done it with Cuba. I'm telling you, this is what brought down the Berlin Wall was Dial Soap and Levi's. These people don't. They're a bunch of idiots. It's just unbelievable. Okay, next is
The chess thing.
Yeah, chess.
Chess is going to start drug testing.
What is with that?
People are crazy. People are going crazy on the drug thing.
What kind of drugs are going to help you be better at chess?
Well,
there's a time limit, you know. So,
oh, was it my turn?
Yeah.
Wait. Was I going
to win last? Right.
Am I white or am I black?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just wondering what drugs are they going to test for? I mean, Viagra? Are you smuggling on a queen or are you just happy to see me?
Is that a 4-hour boner helping you?
No, it's my stealth queen that I took or something.
I figured it out. The truth is that these people and the other people what was the other thing about drugs? Oh, the half people in jail on drugs?
Right.
The people in charge, they're on drugs.
I hadn't thought about that.
They're on prescription drugs.
They're on dope of some kind.
Well, let me tell you one of the things. You've always noticed this. When drugs get confiscated, not all of it makes it to the evidence room.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
I got a feeling there's a slippage there, as we say in the trade.
That's classic.
I just can't understand.
Would you check? And what are you going to check for? Say the guy's on what? He's on steroids. I mean, here's the guy. Right, you know, he's not even a grand champion. He's a champion. He's a champion in whatever it is. He's in the top. Whatever.
He's on steroids.
And he's on steroids, for God's sake. He has to bulk up for chess. I mean, what?
Right. He's on Botox. Right.
I didn't know it was Viagra or if it was on. I mean, antihistamine. Crack.
Here's the ultimate test. My test for drugs is if they can't tell you're on the drugs, then you pass the test.
Well, except for the fact that they're gonna take a, I guess they're gonna make the guy, you know, pee or something like that.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, they won't.
But I mean, what if they find a drug?
Then they're gonna arrest him.
You lose.
Yeah, you lose. I mean, we found an excess.
Checkmate.
Yeah,
checkmate. Exactly.
I mean, we found an excess of Tylenol or something in your in your blood. It's just mind chess.
Yeah.
I've always said,
and the devil came here yesterday.
I was thinking that they ought to just let the market figure it out. Let them all take drugs.
Well, exactly. You know, I want to see the all-drug Olympics. I mean, you know, that was a Saturday Night Live thing, but I just think...
the Super Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was where the guy ripped his arms off or something.
Right, right.
He will now try to lift 15,000 kilos.
Oh, he's ripped his arms off.
That's got to hurt.
Oh, he doesn't know it now, but he's going to feel it in the morning.
That's got to hurt.
It's a flesh wound.
Mere flesh wound. All right, and then finally, the Germans. The Germans have come it up.
What do they do? Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Spray on condom.
Spray on condom. Now, let me tell you. You know what?
It's condom in a can.
Well, I'm telling you, what they were talking about is... Yeah, no.
One size fits all.
It wasn't actually spray on. What it was is you dipped into this thing.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, how many people are going to... How long are you going to stay in that baby? You know? Ooh, that's nice. I believe I don't
dipping
need to cut them now.
So you're dipping into hot liquid rubber?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that basically
no!
Yes.
Well,
I mean,
you say
no
that,
kidding.
But
come on.
I mean, you know, what are you thinking? And of course, I wonder who's doing the testing and, you know, how do they test for all this stuff? How do they test for leakage and...
Leakage.
Man,
he's speechless.
Oh, well, I'm just saying that what they're worried about is that apparently there is a known failure rate with regular sheepskin or what latex or whatever it is, you know, which is like 1% or half 1%. And so they're going to beat that with this spray out. I mean, who the hell is going to take time out? It's to spray it. I think one of the comments was that had to do with the losing of the romance when you stop to put on the latex.
Right, right.
And, like, this isn't going to do that? Excuse me. Make sure you get it over here, honey. I mean, what are you talking about?
I don't know, but leave it up to the Germans, baby.
I guess.
Yeah, I love it.
It's very nice. I like this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Sig dick.
All right, and then the last thing I had was the radioactive poison.
Yeah, I saw this? That. Well, of course, there's...
For sale.
I tell you this,
shipping included.
Polonium. It's polonium-210.
That's right.
Which has recently become well-known as one of the deadliest substances in the world.
That's what the Russian guy...
He
just,
died. Right, it turns out his wife's been infected, too, I think somebody said.
Man.
Anyway, no big deal. It's 100 million times as deadly as cyanide.
100 billion times?
Yeah. They sell for $69 on a site run by a physicist and flying saucer enthusiast.
Oh.
According to a report in the San Francisco...
In other words, a nut job.
Well, it turns out, yes, delivered to your doorstep by U.S. Postal Service or United Parcel Service, plutonium-210, the poison suspected of... in the death of an ex-Russian spy, sold for legal industrial purposes such as removable static electricity. I guess that's in case you don't want to zap your doorknob.
Is that like one of those dryer sheets?
I guess. I mean, it can cause a hideous death if it's ingested. The site where you buy this stuff, offers anti-radiation pills as well as a tantalizing pitch for uranium that resembles a male enhancement ad frequently seen on late-night TV, which I... You're wondering about this. The Chronicle reported that the site is run by Bob Lazar, who claimed to have worked on crashed alien spaceships in the U.S. military base Area 51. So, anyway, you can look at the legitimacy of this.
Yeah, he's a little...
No.
A little nutty. A little nutty.
Okay, we're leaving.
We're leaving.
It was great fun. Thank you. Jack Rue.
Hey, it was good to be here, Jimmy.
Sorry you missed your trip to Mexico.
Oh, not a problem. Hey, and keep those emails coming.
Keep those jimmy@jimmydoe.com.
And jack@jimmy.com.
And Curtis.
Hey.
And as always, for our loyal listeners, dbag@jimmy.com.
Who?
That's our special.
D-bag. Yeah, right.
At Jimmy Dunn.
I don't think so.
Could be. All right, we'll be back.
Yes.
Next week. Keep
somebody
listening.
Somebody will be here, we hope.
We'll be here.
Of course, we didn't go on the air.
Arugulator. We just went on ZTLK. What's ringing?
That is nothing. What is ice? It's this phone.
Yeah.
I was going to sell it on eBay. I want to see how long the battery would last. So I set the alarm to go off every day at 5 o'clock on it. It's been doing it for like 2 weeks. At 5 o'clock it goes off, so the battery is... I mean, if you ever wanted a battery...